At this time, we're going to move to open forum. I'd like to remind anybody that is here, if you are going to come up and testify, we do need you to sign in. As you came in, there's some paperwork there that you can fill out, put your name and other information that's needed, and we're happy to hear from you and the topics that you want to bring today. So at this time, it is the open forum, and then John, will you be facilitating? All right, John Kotelnik, our attorney, will take it over from here.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Commissioners, Secretary Roebling, John Kotelnik, staff attorney. As Chairman Risler said, we're moving into the open forum portion of the meeting. There is no actual public hearing because there's no finalization. So this is just an open forum where individuals can wish to express their thoughts with the commission. Remind testifiers, please state your name and where you're from. And please limit your testimony to 3 minutes. I'll give you a 15 seconds remaining warning. So the first individual I have is Rich Wiedman.
Good afternoon, commissioners.
Welcome.
Madam Chair, Rich Wiedman. I'm from Brookings. I am on the board of the Brookings Wildlife Federation. I was president of the South Dakota Wildlife Federation for 5 years, but that's a little bit of history like I like to share with the commission today about the more non-resident waterfowl licenses. Boy, have we fought this battle and have... If the commissioners don't know this, actually, soldiers returning from World War II found that there wasn't any place to hunt non-waterfall or waterfall because everything was leased up. So the next year, the South Dakota Wildlife Federation was formed and the legislature kicked out non-residents, knowing that residents, you know, deserve the right to be able to hunt and fish and enjoy as a resident. Then in 1962, when Hawaii project came through federally, we had to open it back up. So there's 1,000 non-residents there, 75, 2,000, 85, 2,500, 1990, 3,500, 1995, 4,000, 1997, legislature creates 2,000 three-day non-resident license, only valid in Pierre. And we were promised that if we compromised on that, there would never be any more non-resident licenses. Also, 95. There was not 4,000 non-resident waterfowl licenses. And we were promised again that the people of South Dakota were promised that there would not be any more non-resident licenses because we're getting back to where we were in 1946. There's not enough land to for residents, let alone non-residents. But then again, in 2000, 2004, 2005, legislature creates 8,000 spring goose licenses. 2014, there's now 16,000 non-resident waterfowl licenses. And I believe it was 2013 when I was president of the South Dakota Wildlife Federation. There was a proposal to increase non-resident waterfowl again. And we had, at the commission meeting, written and testified in person, 90% of the people voted against that. And the commission said, well, this is a no-brainer. People are against this. But then I think it was the very next year, again, we had 90% of the people of South Dakota and including non-residents from North Dakota, from other states came in and testified, keep South Dakota waterfowl hunting like it is. You have a paradise here. You get too many people and you'll just shoot yourself in the foot. And that's what we have kind of seen now, because with more and more people, we're losing more and more residents, especially because they don't have enough places to hunt and people can't afford to pay, you know, $2,000 for a guide. Okay, thank you. Now there's, you know, 30 resident commercial operators, 30 non-resident commercial operators. They aren't required, I don't believe, to have any licenses at all. The out-of-state people come in and aren't required to pay anything. But my point is, if we want to keep South Dakota the hunting paradise and a championship team like SDSU, we got to make sure that we look at our residents first. And by the way, residents pay way more than non-residents. taxes, license fees, hotels, everything like that. So please do not allow any more non-residents, as we've been compromising for years, and we get the short end of the stick, and we'll keep losing more and more residents, and we can't afford to do that. Let's keep South Dakota great.
All right, thank you, Mr. Whitman. And just a reminder, we have 3 minutes per individual.
The next individual I have listed is Mr. Zach Hunke.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Commissioners. My name is Zach Hunke. I'm from Watertown, South Dakota. Today I'm representing the South Dakota Wildlife Federation as the current president. I would just like to start with a little bit about my history here in South Dakota. I grew up here, went to school in Brookings, got a great education, and had a lot of very good job offers to leave the state. I did leave the state for a short period of time, and I was an avid waterfowler, and so I'm back. Not only am I back, but I employ 26 full-time employees today. A big reason why I came back was because I love to hunt and fish, and the reason I'm in front of you now is because I want to preserve that. I think we just need a little more time as we correlate the decreases that have occurred in our resident waterfowlers. We've also had a movement of tags and an increase of non-residents. Not that we're against non-residents, it's just that we want to be a little bit careful about how we handle these things. Certainly economics plays a big part when you have individuals that live here, buy their things here, spend their time here. It's a big deal, but mostly we're just asking for a little time. We would like to work with the Game Fish and Parks staff to help finish developing a plan that we've already worked on and has had some effects on the landscape. We think we can have more effects as far as opportunity and access from some of the lands that we currently own. We'd also like to work together with the department and with some of the commercial operators to develop a guide bill, so we have an idea of the people that are coming into our state and guiding for waterfowling. And we just don't have a good idea of what that is because we don't track it so much. So we just ask for a little time before we move forward with the proposal in hopes that we can work together to come up with something that we can all agree with.
So. Very good. Thank you, Mr. Hunke.
Thank you.
Mr. Cody Warner.
Welcome.
All right. Good afternoon, commission members and Secretary Roebling. My name is Cody Warner. I'm the president of the South Dakota Waterfowl Association. I live in Webster with my wife and 3-year-old daughter and a 9-year-old black lab who's bordering on retirement. Fun fact, our current secretary, Kevin, actually trained my dog for a month when she was 2 years old. So I've been blaming all her bad habits on Kevin. So she might need a refresher course. I certainly appreciate the opportunity for opinions to be shared during the GFP Commission meetings. Our group is made up of nearly 500 avid waterfowlers who are mostly South Dakota residents. We are opposed to the proposal for a 5% non-resident license increase, which will be finalized at the May Commission meeting. After reviewing the proposal language and the supporting documentation, we have a few thoughts that we certainly hope will at least be considered by the commission members. This is a snippet directly from the proposal language under the header supportive information. In the past 17 years, resident migratory bird certificate sales dropped 29% from 33,950 in 2005 to 24,166 in 2022. Being listed under supportive information, the GFP is assuming that the 29% loss of waterfowl hunters means that there's a void that can be filled by non-resident hunters without affecting the hunting of the resident hunter. We have the opinion that adding non-resident waterfowl hunters will cause a loss of resident waterfowl hunters at an expedited rate because of increased competition for quality hunting. This opinion is backed by a survey that is located on the GFP website. In October 2017, a document called Survey of Waterfowl Hunters in South Dakota was submitted to the GMP from the United States Geological Survey. In a portion of the survey, residents were asked about potential problems with waterfowl hunting in South Dakota. Over 50% of the respondents considered issues such as crowding, hunting pressure, and interference from other hunters a slight and moderate consideration. This tells us that these issues are a concern for resident waterfowl hunters. We firmly believe that instead of filling the supposed void with non-residents, that the GFOP should be focused on recruiting, retaining, and reactivating South Dakota waterfowl hunters. We also believe that the 29% decrease in migratory bird certificates doesn't actually tell the entire story. There's no data showing how many hunter days were actually lost. We believe this is the important number as this directly impacts pressure and access to quality hunting. We also believe that the number of hunter days is still relatively high as the waterfowlers that remain are extremely active and mobile. In closing, we are certainly aware of the social implications proposals like this carry. Non-resident waterfowl licenses have always been a contentious issue. The South Dakota Waterfowl Association believes that the GFMP should first focus on recruitment, retention, and reactivation of resident waterfowl hunters before they focus on non-resident hunters. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you for being here.
Mr. Chuck Dieter.
Welcome.
Thank you for letting me be here, Commissioner. I'm going to talk about the same issue that these previous fellows were talking about, the proposed increase in non-resident licenses is going to be finalized in May. It's going to be out in Custer, and a lot of us back here east probably aren't going to drive all the way to Custer to testify. So anyway, I've always believed that the Game and Fish Parks tries to manage using science. I'm an old retired professor that was in the Wildlife and Fisheries Department here for 30 years, and I just recently retired. So I did a lot of research on ducks and geese when I was before the Game Fish and Parks when I was here. This proposal, there's really no good science that I can see behind this proposal. A study that I'm aware of in 2008 from SDSU said that found that two of the main reasons that waterfowl hunters in South Dakota were quitting was because it was hard to find a good place to hunt and because it was too crowded. And then Delta Waterfowl, which I did some research for, you guys have probably all heard of them, they did a big study just recently and found that the reason hunters are quitting everywhere, not just in South Dakota. They found that access and opportunity were the two biggest reasons why people were quitting. Back in about 2015, right, probably before any of you guys were on the commission, there was a big non-resident task force. I was on there with, I think Gary Jensen, some of you know him, he was on that committee with me. And we had non-resident and resident supporters there. And we tried to get things figured out. And with so the South Dakota Game Fish and Parks asked hunters for their opinions. And we got literally hundreds and hundreds of people writing in. And of the residents, about 90% there or above were against it. And we even had over 50% of non-residents. They wanted to stay the same because it sounds counterproductive, but when they know that when they get here, they're going to have good hunting. And so they don't want it to be overcrowded. I have a good friend from Nebraska that he's gotten a license like 19 in the last 21 years. If you apply, you'll get a license. And if you don't get one this year, you get a preference point for the next year. So anyway, just don't think it's going to do any good. Also, what does this do for resident hunters? In recent years, like the commission changed the 10-day licenses for non-residents to 2 5-day days. The September Canada Goose season was added to Southeast, added for non-residents. This year, it went 300 new for, just does nothing for residents. And the Waterfowl Association had worked on the access plan with Game Fish and Parks, and really we haven't seen anything done in the last 5 years on that. Sure, thank you. As As Rich mentioned, I don't know how many non-resident and resident guides are out there right now. Just cursory look at the internet, you'll see that there were, I found 25 resident and 28 non-resident outfitters advertising for hunting, waterfowl hunting in South Dakota. So we're getting a lot of pressure already, and we hate to see it. Well, the last thing I would say, we're kind of disappointed that the staff never met with the South Dakota Waterfowl Association or Wildlife Federation before coming up with this proposal. That was really disappointed in that. So anyway, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you for being with us today, Mr. Meader.
Mr. Chuck Berry.
Welcome.
Hello, folks. My name is Chuck Berry. I'm president of the Lake Campbell Sportsman's Club. The club has been in existence since 1957. We have about 130 members. Our clubhouse is beside Lake Campbell on the Brookings County, Moody County line. Our address is Brookings, home of the national championship football team. Our bylaws, way back in 57, state that we'll support natural resource conservation, the beauty and utility of the lake, and outdoor recreation. In the bylaws, section 5, says we will work close harmony and cooperation with Game Fish Commission and conservation officers pertaining to these objectives. I'm reporting that we still follow our bylaws and that our relationship with Game Fish and Parks is good. Your local staff cooperate with us, specifically conservation officers Johnson and Grendler, and local biologists Lucchese and Moreno, and some of your administrators and peers, specifically Eileen Dowd Stupel and others. The club provides public information, especially for youth. Our family ice fishing derby, which your CO visits, is a fundraiser, and we contribute funds back to the Game Fish and Parks Foundation. And we buy Hunt for Habitat raffle tickets without much success. You supply us with conservation literature for our clubhouse information rack and as handouts for our events. We meet with Game Fish and Parks staff twice a year to learn about hunting and fishing opportunities, changes in regulations, access, and habitat, including water quality in Lake Campbell and the Battle Creek watershed. We cooperate with Game Fish and Parks programs, specifically Teaming with Wildlife, Adopt the Lake, Shoreline Restoration Plantings, and Aquatic Invasive Species Program. We participate in citizen science programs that you promote, like Christmas Bird Count, South Dakota Water Watch, and Great Backyard Bird Count. Some suggestions we have for you today. Game Fish and Parks owns 8 acres on the North Shore for access. The fishing pier was destroyed by the derecho storm last year, and we thank you for having it rebuilt and installed this spring, we hope. Please cooperate with the county in keeping the access road in good shape and take a look at the general appearance of your 8 acres, specifically shoreline erosion, parking area upkeep, siltation behind the dam, and piles of dead carp left by archery anglers at the dam. Look upstream from the lake, and please cooperate with the Department of Agriculture and Natural Resources in watershed issues that protect our lake's water quality. We don't think we have any water safety issues, but we appreciate visits from the CO. There's been some talk about vehicle traffic and safety on the bridge from 1, anglers fishing there to a bridge, and 2, more traffic from a new resort right near the bridge. In summary, I'm here to positive and thankful news about Lake Campbell Sportsman's Club cooperation and Game Fish and Parks with their programs and vice versa. We hope you consider our suggestions for improvement.
Thank you for being here today, Mr. Berry.
Mr. Ryan Rohr, I believe you're online.
Do you hear me?
There we can.
Okay. Sorry, kind of a quick change here. I was just calling on the proposed waterfall change, and I got two friends that come from North Dakota and waterfowl hunting and pheasant hunting, and there's reasons why they've quit hunting in North Dakota. They said they can't find anything to hunt anymore because everything's leased up. And after the first week, the 2 weeks of duck hunting up there, all the local ducks are gone due to pressure. And they absolutely love what we have in South Dakota because they know they're going to get a quality hunt when they're here. And I talked to them last night, my friends, and they said, please, please don't ruin a good deal of what you have in South Dakota. Increasing the non-resident tags is not the way to go. They say, you know, you got to start at the basis, and that's getting your residents back in. And one of them actually is thinking about moving to South Dakota because we got amazing waterfowl hunting opportunity for our residents. And he says he really hates to see that get ruined by opening it wide open, well, eventually wide open. So I just, you know, and he says, he also said decreasing the opportunities on waters by closing more waters, public trust waters, isn't the way to go to get more people here in the South Dakota and to get more waterfowlers back into hunting again. And so on behalf of my dad, Don Rohr, which is a landowner and rancher in Northeast South Dakota, and a small business owner, me, please vote no on increasing non-resident waterfowl tags. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rohr.
Mr. Tim Gutmundsen, are you online?
No, I'm right. Thank you. Appreciate getting the opportunity to speak. And so I'm not really representing anybody except maybe landowners and conservationists. So I sent my topics ahead of time, so if I run out of time, cut me off. But I just have two things. And the first one is landowners hunting on own land. And I brought this prop for you guys to see, you know. And so landowners do matter. So I would just encourage for the spring prairie turkey season, considering offering that landowner on own land. I believe you could apply online. Like for deer, that's an option. For another big game, of course, for elk, it's not an option, but for deer, it is. So it would be in line with philosophy on big game. The second thing I had, and I had another prop, this is a newer brand, but opportunities matter. And Kevin, you can use that. It's not patented. So it concerns mountain lions and archery. So, and a lot of people know the history of mountain lion hunting in South Dakota. We started in the fall hunting mountain lions, and too many females got shot. And we had cubs orphaned, so it's a negative. And it's still a concern on the rifle season. You can't shoot a lion in groups. But the idea I had put together was that maybe take five of the quota licenses normally used for the December, I believe, 26th through April season. Take five of those and allow them to be used in the archery season beginning September 1. So what's the probability of an archer in a tree stand or a blind getting the chance to shoot a mountain lion with a bow? The probability is very low. Well, the same rules would have to apply. Couldn't be multiple lions, couldn't be a lactating female, you know. And, you know, in New Mexico, when you go, they make you take a course on trying to identify a male from a female. But, you know, if you were sitting in a blind and a big male mountain lion came by, what a wonderful thing and a very difficult thing to do is to shoot him with archery, Because obviously the majority of our mountain lions are harvested with a rifle, and it involves tracking, using snow to your advantage, and calling, or just sneaking up on them. So it's just an idea to allow more opportunities for the archers to hunt lions. So I will finish. The last thing I'd say as a business person, and I'm going off script here a little bit, but I believe Game Fish and Parks put in a tough situation in a state that's high on tourism and a high demand for non-residents coming, in that non-residents coming to South Dakota and hunting is a great business, but don't undercharge for it. Affect the demand with fees. Get your fees higher. I think there's room to move there as a person that is a non-resident in New Mexico. Yeah, so thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you for being here.
Mr. Cody Johnson. Okay. We'll come back to Mr. Cody Johnson to see if he's online in a second. Is there anyone else in the room that wishes to testify who has not already given testimony? Could you just state your name and where you're from for the record, please?
Sure. Well, commissioners, my name is Greg Fisher. I'm from Lake City, South Dakota. I actually live on Cottonwood Lake. We're up in Marshall County, which is, if you're a duck hunter, it's God's country. And since we split the license for the non-residents going from one single 10-day to 2 5-days, what has transpired is we have non-residents that are able to access the internet and find out when the peak migrations are and hit us at that exact time. And from a resident standpoint, we are getting beat up and we are getting pushed out, and our birds are getting pushed out of the area because of hunting pressure. That has to be limited, that has to be controlled, and we have to somehow come to terms of a balance between the residents and non-residents, and right now, that balance is not there. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fisher.
Is there anyone else in the room that wishes to testify who has not already given testimony? Is there anyone online who has not testified that wishes to give testimony? Hearing none, Madam Chair, that would conclude the open forum portion of the meeting.
All right, very good. Thanks.